preacher walking to a bar. And the bartender says, "This sounds like the beginning of a pretty bad joke." So all jokes aside, if you still had that same doctor, lawyer, and preacher, and throw in a brick salesman and a captain in the sheriff department, those are the men that I ran with every day at lunchtime when I lived in Salisbury. We gathered at the local YMCA, and for 4 or 5 days a week, 30 minutes to an hour a day, we would run. You spend that much time with folks, you get to know them pretty well. And we had these really good conversations about family, about politics, and then about religion. And when the conversation turned to religion, they looked at the preacher or the church guy. Now, I would say these guys are all great, but they weren't the type of folks who you see in church every Sunday. And there was one particular conversation where I was talking to the lawyer, and we're going over the Trinity. I was explaining to him about God as the Father and Jesus as the Son. And then as we started talking about the Spirit, he's like, "Wait a second, Matt, I'm going to stop you right there. You've lost me. I don't get it. I don't get the Spirit." You know, I think that we all have been in that moment in our faith life, sometime maybe in the past or even today, when we just don't get it. We don't understand the Spirit, or we don't really understand those things that are spiritual. Today we're going to look at a story in the Gospel of John that talks about those things that are spiritual and the Spirit. It's about one who just didn't get it. And as you are looking, and if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking in chapter 3 and follow along with me. This is our second part of our sermon series of the dog days of summer. Those are those days where it just seems like they're hotter than normal. I think officially the dog days are beginning January or July the 3rd through August the 7th, when the dog star Sirius rises at the same time of the sun. But they're just hot days. And last week, if you're here, I made the argument that they are warmer than normal days, and they should be included in this time in June. I know this past week, we had some days that were warmer than normal. But when that heat hits us, it just makes us tired, and it makes us wore out. And so that's when we need to find rest. We need to find rest in the Spirit. We talked about finding rest and breathing the Spirit last week. And then this week, our word to ponder, our word to hold on to is trust, trusting God's Spirit. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing in God if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked." Here in our text, we have just a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We already know a lot about... I got a fly up here that is just like right here on me. What's the expression? Like a fly on the wall listening to the conversation? We are that fly on the wall here listening to the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We know a little bit about, or know a lot about Jesus already, but what do we know about Nicodemus? Well, he was a Pharisee. He was one of those religious authorities, a leader of the Jews. And typically, the Pharisees weren't sneaking around trying to have private meetings with Jesus. No, they were plotting and prying and trying to get at Jesus. They were no fans. But Nicodemus, he was an exception. Here in chapter 3, he wants this private meeting with Jesus. Later on in chapter 7, Nicodemus is pleading with the religious authorities for leniency on Jesus' behalf. And then at his burial later in John, Nicodemus brings aloe and myrrh for the burial. Nicodemus saw something different in Jesus, a different way of religion than the things used to be. In Jesus, he saw authentic religion. He saw that, he noticed it because he was searching. He was looking for something different. He was looking for more. You know, we ask ourselves that same question, are we searching? Dennis shared that, you know, we've already found Jesus. We've already made our profession of faith in Christ. But, you know, things change. Our community changes. Our church changes. We change. So we need to be constantly searching. What is God calling us to do? What is God placing on our heart for us? How can we help others? So imagine here this conversation that they had was at night. For me, I would picture it around the campfire, maybe the fire pit. Those times when you just stare at the fire and you engage in this deep conversation. These questions that really cause you to think and to ponder. Nicodemus, he asked, Rabbi, teacher, we know you're from God. How else would you perform all these miracles? The question implied the answer that he was searching for. How can you do this? How are you able? And Jesus replies, you must be born again. In which Nicodemus says, really? Really, Jesus? Actually, I added that to the text, but that's a word that I hear in my house a lot. The boys are constantly saying, really, Dad? Really? You're going to wear that? You look old enough? They didn't say it today. They were nice to me today on Father's Day. But what does this word born again mean to you when you hear it? I had a friend of mine who said he really didn't like it when people would come up to him and ask him, are you a born again Christian? You know, I think sometimes back that word born again Christian seems to be more attached to the evangelical Christians. Maybe folks that wouldn't necessarily be in our denomination, or they might be. But for some, it has just that one meaning, that one stereotype of one particular brand of Christianity. That word, born again, for Nicodemus, only meant one thing for him, to be literally born again of a physical birth. But Jesus, he understood it. He was teaching that it meant something more. To be born from above, to be born of the Spirit. In verse 5, Jesus, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of a God unless he is born of water and Spirit. It's a challenge for us to understand these things, these spiritual things, just like the lawyer was saying, I don't get it. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We can understand a Father God in heaven and Jesus who was on this earth, but the Spirit is hard for us to understand, it's hard for us to grasp, and hard for us to picture. We sometimes don't get it. It requires a level of trust for us, a trust in God for us to grasp the Spirit. Then Nicodemus, he's still grasping, understand. He's wondering, well, how can someone be born again if they're old? You know, in all the miracles that Jesus performed, he never made anyone who was old young again. How many of us would like to be made young again? Maybe a do-over. I don't know if I'd want to go back and live out those middle school years. Those times when your voice is cracking and those awkward moments. But there are things that I regret. There are definitely things that I would have changed in my life to have a second chance. But you know, this physical rebirth is impossible as Nicodemus sees it. But Jesus, as we have read, is talking about this spiritual rebirth. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Ponder this. When humanity was first created, made in the image of God, but in our broken world, sin has blurred the image of God. We all need to be born again into the likeness of God. You know, last week we talked about Jesus breathing the Spirit, giving the Spirit to disciples. And that imagery of God as our Creator breathing life into humanity, and that as believers, as Christian, when we receive the Spirit, it's a continuation of God's creation. We are being made whole when we receive the Spirit. When we're born again of the Spirit, we are being made again in the image of God. But you know, no matter how independent we might think we are, we didn't have anything to do with our physical birth. We just showed up. Here we are. Nicodemus says, well, how can I be born again? What must I do? Jesus says, it's out of your reach. There's nothing that you can do. To be born of the Spirit is a gift. You ever visit family or friends at Christmas time and they show up and they give you a gift, but you don't have anything for them in return? And instead of being thankful, you're upset. At least I am. I'm mad because now they gave me something. I got to go give them something, or I'm going to owe them. You know, if we earn it, if we earn everything that we get, then it's more in our control. But if we receive gifts from folks, sometimes we feel like we're in their debt. To be born of the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, means giving up control to God, means trusting in God, that word that we are to hold on to today. As we are finding life in the Spirit, our challenge is to put our trust in God. Here is our river tube, and when we moved up to the mountains, we were able to go down a different part of the New River up in the southwest part of Virginia. If you've ever been tubing on a river, it's a lot of fun. It's very relaxing. It's like taking a bath, but you're in a float and you're going down the river. We went for the first time in this section of the river that I've never been at before. So I didn't know if there's rapids, I didn't know if the water was deep or shallow, if there's going to be a lot of rocks or snakes or whatever it might have been. And we happened to choose a day that was right after a hard rain. And if you've ever driven past a river or a creek after a hard rain, all the water is muddy. And so there we are in our tube with two small boys going down in muddy water. Now, I'm fine just sitting down floating for the entire time, but the boys want to stop and they want to get out and swim. But you have no idea when you stop whether the water's going to be 1 foot deep or over 10 feet deep. You don't know what you're getting into. So there's a level of trust that you need to have where things are out of your control. When we were floating down that river, I had no clue as to how deep the water was, or to what was around the bend, or where things were going. Just had to trust that things were going to be safe. I had no idea of what was next. In our faith, in our spiritual life, we may not know what's around the corner. It requires that faith. It requires placing that trust in God, allowing the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And so that's our challenge today, is to place our trust into God and to live our life full of the Spirit. Will you join me in prayer? God, again, we just thank you for the blessings of our fathers, of all the men in this church family and in our community who have made a difference in our lives. We thank you for stories about our Lord and Savior Jesus and Nicodemus, about how they were searching, how they were struggling, and how sometimes we may struggle too, God. Lord, we pray for faith. We pray that we will be able to trust you more with everything, that you will lead us and guide us down the path that we need to go. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.